This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek. You are with Dean Beck and Tim Little on Hide and Seek. Tonight, we're discussing douching.
Yes, we are indeed. And we have Steve Spencer. Welcome to the studio.
Hello. Good to see you boys again.
Lovely to see you, mister. Welcome.
And you've brought someone along with you as well tonight.
I've brought my friend OJ. Hey, OJ.
Hello.
So let's just set the scene here. So, Steve, you're representing the bottom.
Yes, although I do dabble for both. I know, shock horror to some people. I've dipped my toes in both sides. I wouldn't go so far as verse, but I'm told I'm a good top when I do.
Let's not slander the man.
Let's not go there. I'm playing the role of bottom tonight, you know.
Okay, you're bottom in the studio. Yes. We're doing some role play here. And OJ's the top tonight.
Yes, OJ's the... I put a call out for fun and interesting tops who sort of get it, and OJ certainly came to mind.
So the topic of discussion is douching.
So set the scene here. You've got a nice hot date ready... OJ's waiting in the wind. How do you prepare?
What are
some tips?
I've certainly got some tips. Now, I sort of take two routes, mind the pun, when it comes to douching. Either you're ready for said hot date, like you've got 3 days or so to prepare, so there are certain things you can do, or you've got sort of the last minute grinder hookup, which I wouldn't meet OJ on, of course. No, we're fine. Fine young gentlemen.
So you've got your phone numbers.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So... Then there's also the quick fix, so you can sort of do a last-minute quickie. So, if you've got time to spare, there are certain things you can do.
Let's say this has been building up for the last week. You're very excited. How does it go?
Well, say on the weekend we're meeting, OJ. Do you prefer Saturdays or Sundays?
Let's go for a Sunday, a little Sunday session.
Sunday, yeah. When you're hungover, that's when the best sex happens. Wednesday, you'd start with your Metamucil. I say that a fiber supplement is the greatest equalizer. No matter what you eat or drink or whatever, Metamucil will turn all that fun stuff inside you into something clean and easy to get rid of. So
one per day?
Three times per day.
Three times a day?
I think that's the normal one. One with each meal.
It's like one and a half teaspoons, like 1 to 3 times a day.
Yeah. So in my case, I do about 10 a day. No, I'm kidding. Keep it healthy. Yes, about 3 a day.
About 3?
Yes. So fiber makes the process of douching down the track just 10 times easier and quicker, because the quicker the douche, the better and healthier it is.
And are there certain types of foods that that you incorporate into that?
Well, the thing with Metamucil, it's sort of a cheat way in that it allows you to eat almost anything you want and drink almost anything you want and keep everything fairly regular and expected. Things that you want to avoid in general before sex are alcohol and coffee. Anything that will turn everything into a bit of a slippery slide are things that you want to avoid.
I'm having flashbacks.
Having flashbacks of a certain...
I had 3 coffees on Saturday.
Metamucil is really psyllium husks.
Yes, so psyllium husk, any fiber supplement.
And the point with that is you got to have enough water, because without it you can get the reverse effect.
Yes, definitely. So you definitely have to use it as described. There's no reason to use too much or too little. Just use it as plenty of liquid. Plenty of liquid, definitely. And also the other thing with this is a lot of people don't eat or will modify their diets dangerously. So rather than saying, you know, don't drink alcohol or don't drink coffee, I say, yes, don't do those things, but make sure you eat full meals and make sure you drink lots of water beforehand, especially immediately before the sex or the day leading up to the sex, because you don't want to have sex on an empty stomach, especially if you're going to be drinking or have your Amyl or whatever. That's when, you know, your body will just seize up and really won't receive it well. So you want to eat healthily.
So in this article, you speak about Amyl and you said that it can actually relax you while you're flushing those things out?
Absolutely. So I explained the fiber supplement and the lead up. So when you actually get to it, to the situation, you take a shit first, okay? Just do it. No matter where you are, no matter who you're with, just have a good dump.
Yeah, please do it in a bathroom. Like, just not at, like, Smith Street, like, Woolies.
Oh, there, you know, there's...
that's where we do meet everyone.
Yes, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. You know, that... You know, the cheeky milk section in the corner, you can maybe get away with it once, but not too often.
Focus.
So in the process, it's amyl on the toilet is amazing because amyl is a relaxant.
Not that we endorse the use of any sort of inhalants.
No. Absolutely not. And please talk to your doctor whether or not your body is appropriate for these sorts of things. If you have blood pressure conditions or if you already have substances in your system, it's a bad idea. But for me personally...
We're certainly not going to recommend any illegal drugs on this show or this station.
No,
and absolutely not. And I don't think anyone should be doing that. But I personally, speaking personally, anything that sort of relaxes you...
is of great assistance.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm, right. Got that.
Yes, so that's the pre. And then a cheeky bottle of Mount Franklin. Go in the shower, a couple of squirts, and you're good.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I hear so many guys with their hoses, their fancy setups, the big systems, you know, guys who build a special shower and a special room particularly for these things. But really, if your sex is whether it's spontaneous or planned, a water bottle delivers the perfect amount of water, which is as little as possible, at the perfect depth. Whereas I know people who'll shove a hose up a foot deep and just flush the whole system out. And what you don't want to do is... risk any damage to the sensitive tissue inside that area. And also what you especially don't want to do is force water too deep up there, because otherwise you get the situation from Dante's Peak where, you know, you have a full dam and it eventually bursts and you flood the poor townspeople, and you don't want to do that.
See, my concern with the Mount Franklin bottle is cutting on the top of the lid.
There are other things, like the tomato sauce bottle is popular because it's quite a thin... conical shape with no sharp edges.
Right.
There are others of us who might need a wider opening, like a Gatorade bottle, but you know, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of just the concept of a bottle, or a douche nozzle as well also works.
So are there certain shapes that you would go for with a proper douche, I'm talking?
With a proper douche bottle.
Not a Mount Franklin bottle.
Well, yes, if you're lucky enough to have one with you, as I said, spontaneous sex or whatever is, you know, that's the thing about a Mount Franklin water bottle. You can buy them anywhere. So no matter where you are, you can get one.
But in a perfect world, what would be the ideal equipment?
Yes, a douche bottle. It works absolutely perfectly. Again, it delivers the perfect amount of water to the perfect depth.
What about things like a bidet?
As in one that shoots water at you?
Yeah.
If you can hold yourself open for long enough...
I don't think that's going to be doing anything, really.
No, it does work. Trust me.
Right, okay. All right. I'll have to take your word on that. Your thoughts on nozzles? Hoses and nozzles. Let's talk about that.
Again, like, I'm not a big proponent of the hose. I think they're a bit extreme.
See, I am.
Absolutely.
And I'm totally mains pressure.
And I'll look at a perfect world, I'd go down to the local hydrant. But no, I know too many people, especially if they're... I'm not implying anything by this, but you are experienced and you have learned what works best for your body.
Sure, absolutely.
And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters, is what works best for you. But for starters, for people who perhaps their current douching regimen isn't perfect... You know, a bottle really does give you the right amount. If you figure, oh, your body can handle a bit more water or a bit more depth, then that works well. But at the end of the day, the golden rule is shallow and less water. And again...
And comfortable.
Yes. And keep it comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it is very sensitive in there. You don't want to push the water too deep, because then that causes a water buildup deep down, and you'll discover that halfway through. Sorry, OJ, if that happens. Yeah. Have you had any experiences, OJ, with that?
Yes.
Not with me, of course. Not.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so, like, coming from, like, my point of view, like, if I am picking up on the 86 tram, whatever, if shit happens, shit happens. But when you plan something 3 or 4 days ahead, like, there can be some people who will get really anxious about it and go too far. And I would have been, like, probably 3 years ago, someone just, yeah, as I said, break a dam on a bed and soak a bed, like... when that's not your own mattress, it's fine. But when it's your mattress, you're just like, oh,
so
it's a thing. Like, get it out beforehand.
Wait, you were cheating on me?
No, I'm kidding.
I think actually a really important thing Dean taught me, like, many years back was do a little dance in the shower. Like, if you are afraid of having any excess buildup, just have a little dance, move it around.
Absolutely. And changing wait. Position.
Yeah. Give it time, though. Like, you don't want to douche 20 minutes before someone arrives at your door. Like, you want to give a little bit more time.
And look, the best douche is not a spontaneous douche. Let's yes. be very yeah. clear yeah. on that.
It's got to be I mean, planned.
Yeah.
But again, like, there are things that you can do to improve your chances of a good outcome.
And I've got a question, too. Is there a difference between warm and cold water? Like, which is better? You would assume warm?
Yeah, I say warm because too hot and it causes damage, and too cold can tighten you up.
Right.
Anything that's sort of unnatural, like the environment within your anus is naturally warm, so you don't really want to introduce something of a radical temperature to like that deviates too far from your natural temperature.
Sure.
And to cover on that as well, from a health perspective, so most of you've got a huge amount of kind of flora happening inside your bowel.
Natural flora. I thought those were only in vaginas.
Yeah. Because like you've got a whole bunch of bacteria in there that actually helps digest all your food. Not so much in the anus, but definitely up into like your large intestine. And anything above 38 degrees is actually going to denature that. So if you go above 38 degrees in your water, you're going to kill bacteria and you're actually going to cause like a digestive upset for literally up to like 2 to 4 weeks. Same as taking antibiotics, it can kill everything down there. So it's really important to keep that below your body temperature. And not to use too much pressure, to actually let everything live up there naturally and to kind of maintain everything.
My recommendation is just under warm.
Yeah.
And a good way to test that is to put the water on your balls.
Ah, good idea. And what about if you're midway through the act, something happens and you think, okay, right, I need to sort this out.
We call this DEFCON 9. This is when, again, the last thing you want to do is freak out. And, I mean, OJ can say something on this, but at the end of the day, we know what we're getting ourselves into. And at the end of the day, it can happen to anyone. No matter how well prepared you are, you never know. We're animals. This is a human body. It'll do its own thing. So if you're halfway through and the dam bursts or something, or, you know, your chocolate ice cream machine malfunctions, then, yeah, certainly there are things you can do. You grab the bottle, you go back into the shower, or, you know, have a quick poo, get it all out, and then do a quick flush out again. But most of all, take your time and don't stress, because the number one thing, if you want to enjoy your sex, if you want to have a good douche, is just to relax, just enjoy yourself and don't stress. If you need to take 20 minutes out, just explain to the top. You know, hey man, like, I'm going to have to take a second, let it relax, and then restart. And, you know, there's no issue with that. Like, sex is so built up, but it's just like, take a chill pill, relax, enjoy it.
Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Tim Little with you on Hide and Seek. We're joined by Stephen OJ. We're talking about douching.
Yes, we are. And there's something here in your article, Steve. Just like on Grindr, avoid
what article?
Big douches.
What article are you referring to, Tim?
Douching, you're doing it wrong.
Which appeared in Gay News Network.
Yes, so I was interviewed by my good friend Nicholas, who's the contributing editor for their checkup column for Gay News Network.
Which is the new health column, isn't it?
Yes, the new health column.
And sex column, yeah.
And that appears monthly in the Melbourne Community Voice, our great local queer paper. And so, yes, we talked about douching then. The title was Douching, You're Doing It Wrong. Because, yeah, so many people are doing it wrong. You know, not necessarily all of it, but, you know, there are a couple of tips and tricks that everyone can sort of trade and learn, so.
Nuts.
Nuts. Love them.
Yeah.
Salty.
But I've heard stories about avoiding nuts and whole grain things because they don't necessarily always fully digest. And
corn.
But corn is less scratchy than nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Like, things that are difficult to digest is not really something you want in the lead up. Things that are that too easily break down, or things that cause breakdown, such as alcohol and coffee, or things that don't digest at all and come through nice and sharp, like your nuts.
So do you change your diet in the lead up if you're organizing something?
It's all part of a healthy, well-balanced diet. If you're eating a healthy, well-balanced diet, you're keeping yourself healthy and you're making sure your douche will be good. Mm-hmm. If you incorporate your fiber supplements into that, you'll have a really great douche. It's only when you don't eat properly beforehand, which I know a lot of people do. You know, they have the celery diet so that there's nothing that comes through. That's an urban myth. That never works. And you want to have all the energy you can in the running up to sex.
What are your thoughts on laxatives and things that help evacuate in a hurry?
I am sort of against that because a fiber supplement is much more natural. It's something that you should already have, a high fiber diet, whereas a laxative sort of has the opposite effect. I'd much rather have a really clean, well-bound shit rather than a very loose and wet one, which is what laxatives result in, because what you want is everything to come out of one piece and there to be nothing left over, whereas a wet one, you know, there are all sorts of crevices in there. And once you evacuate your bowels, you know, there are always things left over.
And what about the opposite, the other ones that actually stop you from going? I know some people try that method as well.
Again, you want to keep things as natural as possible. You don't want to be stopping or rushing anything. Because if you keep things parked up there, you never know when they might come out.
Very true.
Mm.
And avoiding big douches, you've said here in this article.
Yes. So, like on Grindr, you want to avoid big douches because the less water, the better. You want to keep minimal water so you don't get things going up there too deep. And, yeah, you want to keep things as natural as possible. So, another good thing alongside that is when you're in the shower doing your minimal douche, or whatever you find works best for you. You might find that a longer douche works good for you, as long as you're keeping it healthy, is to use something phallic in the shower. So whether or not that's a dildo or shampoo bottle or the hairspray bottle. Okay, no, I'm just talking about me. Some other people might not need those things. And
maybe something that's at least designed smaller for the purpose might be the best advice.
True. Some gay men have pushed the boundaries of our animal bodies.
Is insertable.
Yes, and our hospitals are full of stories like it.
Yes, no action men dolls, please.
Now, we've spoken about temperature. We've spoken about diet. I guess we're talking about a part of the body that really, for your average person that's just fucking, we're only talking about 8 to 9 inches internally, aren't we, to clear out. If you're going beyond that, we're talking about, I guess, more than douching 101.
Yes, perhaps the men that use the hairspray bottles.
And fists.
And fists, absolutely.
So for those that wish to go beyond 101 and to have a deeper clean, what are your recommendations?
Well, all of my recommendations sort of have that deeper effect, especially the relaxant whilst doing your shit beforehand, so while you're in the toilet, sort of being very relaxed and getting things out quite deep. And Metamucil or other fiber supplements will also help things slide through because it binds everything and does slide it through. It increases the lubrication within your digestive system. So those will give you a deeper douche, whereas just the water will only do the shallower bits.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what about afterwards when you think everything's settled, it's all good? Do you use a bit of soap down there to have a nice aftertaste?
Well, it depends if you like, as OJ mentioned, the natural flora.
No. It's an ecosystem.
If you want to taste that ecosystem.
Save the dolphins.
Some guys like our natural. But other guys want to taste someone's soap, and
I think you
fine.
Should certainly employ standard hygiene practices, but I don't think we'd be advising any detergents internally.
No, yeah, like, not internally. Yeah,
like,
oh, goodness,
externally
no.
Is fine, but like, internally,
you don't
want to have
I'm
any
talking
soaps.
About externally.
Oh, okay. So you're about in, like, no internal soaps. Like,
I'm not talking about douching herbal essences or anything like that.
And I guess it's a good point. Water is the best product to use, 100%. Not any other additives to that. And there are some proprietary items that you can buy off the shelf that are made of saline liquids and things, but I certainly wouldn't be recommending them.
No.
Definitely not. And the same as, like I don't recommend hoses and I don't necessarily recommend douche bottles. Like, douching is super simple. You know, you can douche very well with things that you have in, like, in the food closet, in your
but
food
I
cupboard.
But I think a purpose-built equipment is probably better than going for your average water bottle.
Yes, and absolutely. And it's what works best for you. It's definitely what works best for you.
And
to the listeners, it's whatever works best for all of the listeners.
Absolutely. And once it's up there, do you have a recommendation of how long you should keep it up there before evacuating the village?
Now, this is a very controversial issue. I've had people say, keep it in there for an hour. No, don't do that. I say as little time as possible. I do half a second to a second. I really keep it. If you're also incorporating using something phallic like a dildo while you're douching, because that also pulls things through. And then the water, I sort of use just as a quick little flush out of whatever's left behind. That's essentially what I do when douching, is that all the big things should already be out. So no heavy flushing is required. So really it's just going in there to sort of get in all the crevices and everything, sort of lift everything out, and then you just let it out. Because the longer you keep it in there, the more time it has to creep up your colon and into your small intestine, and that's when you get the issues of a water reservoir forming up there and then coming out halfway through sex, which is what you want to avoid.
That's when it kind of stays up there and
sort of hangs around and gets really brown.
No, we don't want that.
Don't want that.
How do you know when you're ready? Done. Finished.
Have a fiddle around. I like... I do the two-finger test. So, chuck them in there. You look at them and it's all fine, but it's what's in between your fingers which tells the real story. Some people, and, you know, during sex, like a couple of little yellowish specks or whatever are actually fine. Like, during sex, you won't actually see or smell that. Like, that's just purely just residue or whatever. But if you want a squeaky clean one, you separate your fingers and have a look, and if there's nothing there, it's all clear. But it's also important to change positions, so you're usually squatting while douching, which is the most natural way for your body to evacuate things from the colon. So stand up, that changes the muscles and everything, sort of readjusts, and then try again in 2 minutes squatting, and if it's all fine, you're pretty confident to go.
So you wouldn't sit on a toilet seat?
I don't recommend sitting on a toilet seat. I mean, other cultures around the world have squat toilets because that is the way the human body more naturally relaxes and gets things out. A Western toilet is not the natural way. It's not the best way to poo anyway. Our design of toilets are very much from a conservative bygone era, whereas squat toilets are far better, far healthier for us.
OJ, have you ever been asked to assist with the process?
No. No, I haven't. It's kind of always seemed like kind of secret bottom business. Like, I think more so like, because look at porn, the way we're conditioned to porn. Like, unless you're looking at pig prod, like, it's all just like, porn is clean and glamorous and easy. So I think it's really, I have no problem with it were a thing, but it's just not really something I've ever come across.
I think some people like that as a fetish.
Yeah, douche play.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I know it's totally a thing. Like, I sold sex toys for 3 years, and it's totally a thing, but it's not something I've ever been asked to assist in. Mm. But I also know that every single thing is someone's thing out there.
Like, but it may not necessarily be a thing in that space, but someone assisting can be helpful and speed up the process.
Yeah, like I say, like, use a phallic object in the shower, and what's more phallic than an actual phallus? So experiment, have some fun.
There is a very good point to that. Very good point to that.
Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Tim Little with you on Hide and Seek tonight.
Welcome OJ and Steve in the studio tonight.
Hi.
And we are talking about douching. And OJ, tell me some of your stories.
Like, from the perspective of the top, it's like you don't need to douche as much because you're not really keen to show up your butt as much. But I think it comes down to a lot more of looking at discretion and the way in which you're actually interacting with people. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go up to a bar and you go home with someone, you have to show discretion.
Yeah.
Like, you, and it's like, I think one of the things, when I was younger, I was more of a bottom, and now I'm a top. And kind of having both sides of that, you have to have a little bit of empathy with who you're sticking your dick in. Because like, so you go home and someone, they've been out for 7 hours, they've just had lunch, they've gone to Pico Pico onto the street and had dumplings, then it might not be in the greatest situation at the time. Who knows, they may have had perfect kind of meal times and everything's flushed out and it's fine. But as a top, I think it's really important to have discretion with how you're approaching people. Like, when you're getting down a little bit hot and dirty, chuck a finger in there. Just like, have a feel around, have a subtle smell. If it's not good and you can tell something's not right, maybe you know tonight is just going to be...
And how about starting gently instead of just like flying on in there?
With discretion, like... Bit of spit. You know,
such a gentleman.
Start out, test, put your toe in the water, so to speak.
Maybe not literally. But you know, like what I'm trying to say is there, like, work your way down to that area. First, find out if that person wants to do that. Like, I remember when I was a bit younger, if I went out and I'd been out for 7 hours and I went home with someone, the last thing I wanted to do is bottom. And I'd just be like, nah, this isn't going to happen. And also totally. Having that conversation beforehand. But if they're like kind of putting up their signs, butt in the air, great, go down there and just have a look around, or have a feel around, have a sniff around and see how you're going, and just have the confidence and the bravado to say to someone, hey, think you're really sexy, let's just take it slow for tonight. And as a bottom, knowing to be able to say the same thing.
And I think a good advice to all tops is it is in your best interests to be patient.
Yeah.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said be empathetic, because there's nothing worse than when you're in one of those situations and the other person totally freaks out because there's been a bit of mess.
Yeah, and absolutely, like, you're putting your penis inside somewhere that is designed to excrete. Like, it is a risk you're going to go into. And I think... The worst thing you can do, and someone,
and it's something like, that we all indulge in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important that if it does happen, and as a top, if it does happen, just to be really loving in the way in which you approach it. You can just be like, "Hey, like." Generally, they'll know before you know as well. I've quite found the case. Like, you just kind of go, "Hey, do you want to take a break?" And they'll be like, "Yep," and they'll instantly go vanish right to the bathroom. And this is where it's, I think, really good.
Even politely say, you know, I think you need to head off to the bathroom.
Yeah. And I think, like, for me, it's really important to always carry baby wipes with me. Like, baby wipes can cure
everything. Baby wipes are great.
Yeah, like, if you've got a bit of a chop top and you've got something on the end of your bits, baby wipe it off. And it works both ways as well. Like...
I've never heard that term in reference to. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Right. Thank you
for repeating it.
I'm going to be having flashbacks when I go to the movies now.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the big things you have to look at, is just being a generally nice person. Someone's getting naked with you and being really vulnerable with you because they kind of think you're a bit cute, kind of like you. And I think it's important to actually be really reciprocal with that.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, the whole thing is just about keeping relaxed. And so much of our sex is full of anticipation and stress and, you know, often guilt and shame and whatever. And there's so much guilt and shame associated with the sex we have, let alone with shitting. I mean, you know, we all do it except the queen. And although some of us are queens, we still do it, and it's a natural thing. So, exactly. Empathy is exactly... just what the top needs to have with the bottom, and the bottom needs to have with the top as well. Like, some people are more receptive to if it's a bit messy. Some people might not mind. There are degrees of acceptance of that, like from full-on scat to, you know, the chop top. So you need to sort of establish what you're both comfortable with. If, like most people, you prefer it to be totally clean, well then... yeah, the top needs to understand that you might need to have a little bit of a quick go at it. It's by no means equals the end of a session.
Do you think that our sensitivity to the issue is far more pronounced these days because of porn, where it is unrealistically hyper clean and we don't see any mistakes, we don't see any of what goes on behind the scenes?
I think so, perhaps. But everyone, you know, everyone says this, but then within the same breath, they also say, we all know that porn is a fantasy or whatever. But do people actually take that into account? People really do need to start questioning, what they do believe in what they see in porn. And, for some people, the sex they have is like in the porn. For some people, it's much more natural or much more them. It's sort of the way that you do it best. You should by no means expect yourself or expect other people to perform in a certain way, because that's when you just tense up. And the last thing you want sex and douching to be is to be tense. You want it, to be cool and calm and fun.
You want something naturally flowing as well. In porn, it's very unnatural.
Oh, totally. I mean, they're
it's
flushed
completely up staged.
Yeah.
Well, we've had sex therapists on here and doctors even who have said that we as a society need to be far more relaxed about our particular douching necessities, to be less particular, to be more, I guess, natural and to go with the flow a little more. There may be some validity in that. Personally, I like it all neat and tidy.
Well, I've had sex in the woods before. I think quite a few of us probably have. You have sex, it's impromptu, and you're somewhere where you don't just have a bathroom really nearby. And I think it's coming down to actually knowing, or approaching that situation and learning to deal with it. Sometimes if you've got a little bit of mess, you can be like, well, I could probably keep it hard for the next 3 minutes. We can both finish this and just never speak of it again. Or you just go, cool, baby wipes, get in there, fix it up again. Or you just go, we're just going to have a tug. Or if there's a little bit, you can just go, yep, this is a reasonable amount. But if you were literally liquiding everywhere, that's made me stop. But I think
some people continue.
Yeah, and that's completely, completely fine.
Scotty has sent this message through on 0427JOY949. He said that the subject makes him laugh. I'm not quite sure why, Scotty, but anyway. But after a one-night stand and the guy had left, there was a bottle of Gatorade in his bathroom and he realised that the guy had been douching with it. What a considerable bottom, Scotty says. And what a considerable bottom indeed. Thank you very much, Scotty.
I apologise if that was me. No.
Stephen and OJ, thank you so much for joining us on Hide and Seek tonight.
Thank you.
It is a subject that all too much we don't speak about. And
we really need to speak about it.
And I think we should be a little bit more open-minded in this way, because we need to share some of our tips and our good bits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
At the end of the day, do what works best for you and have fun.
Absolutely.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.